The chapter and verse, the text that we read in Acts 1 to 7, it records something really important. You could see this verse in your phone. Point of this chapter is on how they choose their deacon. The role of the deacon. Why did they establish this, and what is the purpose? Do they need to choose these kind of coworkers? And then the second is, what are some of the characteristics of a deacon? I'm going to focus on the first point. Why do we choose deacons? When I was studying this, two questions came up. How should deacons be elected? And why seven deacons? If you remember in Luke, you know that there's new believers and there must be tens of thousands of them. Don't you think there should be more deacons? Why only seven? How can these deacons do everything? And so I will present these two main points. When I was reading Acts 3,
the same people about chapter.
I didn't put this on the slide, but Acts 2, 5 days after the Passover. Everyone came to celebrate this festival. You know, there are the Jews. We know these people, some of them are not from Israel, but they are Greek Jews. Some of them came from Iraq, some of them came from the Euphrates River. Other ones came from the northern area. And he's from all over the area, I came. Even he's from the Arabic area and from Rome. Well, that the disciples, they brought a lot of people to Christ during this time. Verse 3 say, the answer is why they choose these deacons. What will they be in charge of? What is their responsibility? That the disciples increased. The non-Jewish widows were being overlooked. Some of them are authentic, original Jews. Other ones are Hellenistic or from the outside. So, when they were electing elders and deacons, there was a problem because the main Jews were getting the say everything, and the others were being neglected. When you go look at the background of the Jews, they were taught to care for their widows and orphans. It's the Old Testament. I will present three verses. But you can go look up or on your own regarding Exodus 22:2 says, do not take advantage of the widow or fatherless. This includes the orphans. These orphans and widows, they lost their husband and their parents. The Bible constantly emphasizes you must take care of these people. Deuteronomy 27:19. Let's read this together. Cursed is anyone who holds justice from the widow. There's constant emphasis. We must little. It's orphans and widows must come before God to plead, I will destroy you all who take advantage and don't care for them. God is making proclamation here. God says you must take this seriously. God says if they these sectors are mistreated, I will punish you. Even the 12 tribes of Israel, they made a pledge before God to obey this law. And Jewish people had a special situation for them. Had a handbook. A widow who lost her for any reason, including war. They wrote their name down in this book. They respected these widows. They wrote down who is who and what, how they will take care of each one. Two, verse 2. These Jews living outside of Israel, I realized they had a problem. Acts says, now these days when the disciples increased in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And they said, why are our widows not in your ledger? Like in our situation, we have English speaking Chinese, and also there's also Chinese speaking English. Sometimes we feel like we neglect those who are speaking, who are the English speakers. In the same way, just like the church, they had to figure out how to help sectors. This also includes new believers that are non-Jews. And one of the main points here is that when picking or choosing elders, they must choose someone full of the spirit and full of wisdom. Even though these people are different from the Hebrews in Israel, speak a different language, they are are people. In California, there's a lot of churches who speak Cantonese, and they differ in thought and language with the mainstream Mandarin-speaking church. But the church should also take care of these different people who speak a different language. There are 12 disciples of thought. It would be bad if we aside our job of spreading the gospel to care for these. This is where they started electing the deacon. Here's the list of deacons they chose to care for these widows. Seven and special in their names. Greek names are all Greek names. But today, some people have English and Chinese names. Same with these. You could compare this Greek names to English names. Well, Chinese have a joke. How do you find a Chinese name for a kid? Whatever the child does or sounds he make, we will name that child for their Chinese name. And so these men, this was their main role, yes, in the church. So, example of this. I encourage our coworkers to also recognize the needs of those that are different. Care for them, for these people in our society. How do we uphold them? How do we let the gospel reach these people groups? Feel that sometimes we focus too much on the social care and might become the social part. We see here that Jesus also cared for people's needs. In Matthew 9, 35 to 36, I really like this verse. Let's read it together. We noticed that Jesus went everywhere. First, he taught people. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And also, he healed different diseases and pain. Just like today, we disciple and teach people. Teach and they not just teach, but they also preach the gospel to the hearers. And they care for the people in their society. This is what we must do to have a holistic gospel. We must teach, we must preach, and we must care and heal. And I just noticed this pattern throughout scripture as I was studying. And Mark 6:34 says, we notice here that Jesus' eyes, he noticed these people and radar is on them. Sometimes we don't even see it, but God notices them firsthand. He sees them as a sheep without shepherds. Do you remember the time when Jesus fed the crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? This is recorded in Matthew and Mark, as well as Luke and John. These all work together to provide a lot of detail. I noticed one thing beautiful, and I was very impressed. Sometimes in the past, I just skipped over and didn't notice. But when feeding the 5,000, there was a lot of people that followed him in the crowd, 5,000 men. Jesus cared and had hospitality towards all of them. He preached to them and cared for their needs. And Matthew also says, so many people, 5,000 men. He healed their sicknesses. God had mercy and compassion on him and said to his disciples, give them something to eat. Feed them. And the disciples were puzzled, how can this work? We'll have to buy this much food. Where will we get the money? And where will we get the materials? Jesus cared for them and had compassion on them. Let's provide for them. He saw these crowds as a sheep without a shepherd. I noticed first that without a shepherd, what is their plight? What does it mean to be a sheep without shepherd? You notice that these groups of sheep, they don't have any direction, no direction at all. They don't have where to go. And they don't have the support that they need. That sheep doesn't have a shepherd. They don't have the direction, the support, and lastly, it supply for their needs. Please keep in mind that a lot of people have different goals and directions in life. But what is the true direction for a human? We seem to have lost that. Jesus reminds to take care of them and guide them in the right direction. You go feed them, be their support. So why? Question two, number seven for the deacon. In this short time, they chose seven. I thought, that's interesting. Why seven? Is that truly enough? For these group of people, tens of thousands who have means. Some churches, they might have up to 20,000 folks. I went to a church in California. There was a lot of people there. This church, there's so many people, yet only seven. What is the point? Did you really, these men really care for all these people? In the Chinese culture, they're a little superstitious, so they don't believe in the word, the number four, because it sounds like death. So sometimes there's no fourth floors in the Chinese building, but they think eight means 12. So they love the number eight. So The same way. We see the number seven, God's perfect number, and it's mentioned in the Bible hundreds of times. We notice that number seven is super important for them. We see the number seven repeated constantly. In the New Testament, we see this at least 50 times. There's a special meaning to the Hebrews. And see, number seven is very special. That the number seven represents perfection. Genesis 2:3. We see that God completed his work in creation. And he set the seventh day at home. We see in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that God emphasizes that. Let's continue to keep the Sabbath day holy. For the Jews, see the seventh day as a very holy day and remember as the divine. In Revelation, it's the end of the opposite end of the Bible, seven spirits. And also mentioned in Isaiah 11:2, there's seven spirits. There's the spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The And therefore, we put the number seven in choosing the church deacons. There's another special meaning in the number seven, the Old Testament mentioned. Achievement and accomplishment. The mission is accomplished. You remember when the Israelites Egypt was going to the land of Canaan? They had to go through many, many hardships. Every city they reached, they had to face enemies. Do you remember Joshua? And they obey God in going around the city seven times. And when they accomplished their mission, the city fell. The Bible. One time and multiple times, keep referring to number seven. Maybe some people, when they were around the city, they had their doubts. But until they obeyed God, when the mission was accomplished, then they conquered the city. I think this is a special teaching that teaches us. In another book, 2 Kings 5:10, the general Naaman of Syria got leprosy. And this was a very troublesome disease, but a slave girl from Israel told him about the prophet. Heals. He heard these words. He said, "I should go." This general, he is very high up. He even brought gifts to the prophet Elijah. And he went down personally. This general Naaman thought he's humbling himself already by going to this place. And Elisha doesn't even come out to meet him, but sends a servant to tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And this servant says, "You will get well after you do what you've been told." Maybe have thought, "I've come all this way personally. You should at least come out to meet me, according to the prophet." And he said, "Why the river of Jordan? We in our own country have the Cumberland River." And he was very angry, very upset. He almost left and gave up. But he listened to some of his helpers when they advised him, "Why, since you're here, why don't you just go do it? What can you lose from doing this?" And when he obeyed God and followed the instructions, his disease, leprosy, was healed. Back to the deacons. 对。Cared about the quality of people, not quantity of leadership. And we know that these people needed to have one accord with each other. You don't need a lot of leaders. Well, there's a saying that goes, too many cooks spoil the soup. Maybe there would be more divisions if there were more leaders. You needed good, suitable leaders. I remember last week when the general came to our church. Ephesians 4:11 to 12 says, so according to this verse, we need to put the right person in the right position. Then we can see how the church should organize their leaders, people. We need people to preach. And we need people to take care of me. We'll talk more in detail about the deacons in the future. Abby, thank you for leading us, especially in Nashville Church, that we can accomplish your mission for us. That our people and our deacons can lift you up. This is our responsibility to our society, to our church, to our families. And we pray this in your name, amen.